Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Addison Godfrey. Shadan Majidi directed and co-produced the documentary Me, the Other, which has won numerous awards. The film addresses issues of hatred and prejudice, telling the stories of 12 individuals attending colleges and universities in Michigan who are often labeled as other. I'm joined in the studio by Shadan Majidi to discuss his documentary. Shadan Majidi, thank you for talking with me.
Thanks, Addison.
So your film begins and ends with the idea that otherness is never one thing. Could you explain a little about what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, otherness is a term that is becoming quite international in its definition. And it really is, I mean, there's so many definitions of it, and that's really what otherness is, never one thing. It can be so many things to so many people. So in this instance, for example, we explore the lives of 12 different students, as you stated, and they are from different backgrounds. They deal with different social issues. And, you know, it doesn't matter what color or religion or race, what they are, or, you know, what social issue is their issue, their sort of challenge in life. But the fact that they're different, and who knows different than what or whom, allows them to carry or be labeled as others. And usually the other in this day and age are individuals whom we somehow disagree with, either because of their way of life or because of what they look like, where they come from, what they believe in. And it's a convenient label to raise fear of people who are not us. And then the question is, who is us? Who is normal? Who is, you know, accepted and who's not, and why? So otherness is never one thing. It's just, how do you define it? Who falls? Is there anybody who's exempt of being another?
Do you think that some people are othered more than others?
It's interesting you ask me this question. I just had lunch with the Baha'i Society of Penn State, and I asked them, I said, what is the most challenging issue in terms of otherness in this community? The overwhelming response was race. And I feel like that really is the most targeted of all the otherings. I would say race and color of skin.
Why? Why do you think it's that particular?
That's a great question. I wish I had a clear answer to it. I just think that, I don't know, I think we have to look at history and understand, why did we feel that people who had a darker tone in their skin would become the subject of attack or hate? I know that doesn't really answer the question fully, but I think we'll get to the answer.
Well, your documentary does raise a number of difficult questions that we might not have answers to right now. And race is just one of the topics that are mentioned. As you said, the people whose stories are featured come from a variety of backgrounds. Mm-hmm. There's an interracial couple, a gay couple, a woman from Flint, a Shia Muslim from Pakistan, a DACA recipient, a trans woman. How did you choose whose stories to include?
It was one of the most difficult things. First of all, this whole thing happened in a period of 4 months, actually just under five. When the idea came to me to do this documentary, I ran it by my friend Sherry Mirafzeli from University of Michigan, who actually called me and asked me to do something to celebrate diversity on the campuses in Michigan. I gave her the concept of, let's do a documentary about the students from these campuses. And she immediately kind of greenlit it. She said, I think it's a great idea. Let's do this. I'll start sort of fundraising. And I said, well, we have to find a cast. And in no time, she got, you know, friends to put up notices and sort of online news bulletins, et cetera, around these three campuses. And then we set the auditions for like 2 weeks after I came up with the idea. I flew up to Michigan really thinking maximum five people were going to show up. I was amazed we had 42 submissions. And then it was like, wow, this is really a great representation of, you know, the different colors of the rainbow of, you know, humanity. It'd be great, but there's just so many stories. How do we fit this into a one-hour documentary? And we ended up casting 12, and they're presented in chapters so that schools and colleges can pause and have discussions. Yeah, so we ended up casting 12 out of 42.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Have you gotten to hear any of these discussions on college campuses?
I'm beginning to. It's pretty amazing because the response from the world premiere in Ann Arbor, Michigan, was a snowy night on Martin Luther King Day last year. And we didn't think anybody was going to show up. The theater was sold out. 1,700 people showed up. And immediately we started getting calls from the campuses in Ann Arbor. And then people had come from other places around Michigan and Ohio. And Michigan State University had a team, and they said, we would help you create a study guide so that once this goes out to schools and colleges, students can watch it and then go to the classrooms and then have like a study guide that would help facilitate a conversation around each individual character and issue. And we've got this amazing study guide now that goes out with the film to schools and colleges.
With the diversity in these stories, do you see any common threads that underlie all of them?
Absolutely.
What are some of those commonalities you see?
This really is the reason that I wanted to do this film, especially at this time. Let me give you just a little bit of a background. When my friend Sherry called me from Michigan, the purpose of the celebration was the celebration of Baha'u'llah, who's the prophet of the Baha'i faith. His teachings center around the oneness of humanity, oneness of God, oneness of religion, oneness of humanity. And for me, otherness and oneness were the two big features or big storyline plots, if you want to call it, of the film. So I wanted to make sure that people understood who are these other people by telling their personal stories and hoping that in each and every single one of them, we can see ourselves and then really understand that as a human race, no matter what our color is, what our race, background, religion, you know, gender, sexuality, physical appearance, age, you know, all these things that tend to separate us or bring about some kind of a prejudice, at the core of every human being, we are souls, we are spiritual beings, which is really consists of love and light. And I think that the whole purpose of this film for me is to allow people to come to that place of the spirit. And in that world of the spirit is where I believe Baha'u'llah says oneness exists. So for me, it was really, really important that the oneness of humanity stands out as the main theme.
I think it's interesting in a film that really focuses on otherness, the idea that oneness is what you really want people to take away.
Yeah. And I mean, through all these divisions right now because of, you know, how people are being labeled as others, we need to, as a human race, we need to find a solution. There's just too much conflict and too much hatred that's being spread around this world. I hope that the end game, the destination that we'll arrive at one day is a sense of understanding or oneness as a human race. And that, you know, the world is a country and we're world citizens, really. These borders weren't God-made, they were human-made. And these borders have divided us, created wars, and these borders exist on every level, you know, between countries, between people in terms of the differences of, you know, the others and everything that we've been talking about. So I think it's about time that we started looking at breaking down walls and barriers and borders, which is interesting thinking, you know, where we're at right now and the big discussion of the day.
Have you ever felt like the other in your own life?
Oh, absolutely, always.
In what ways?
First of all, I'm Middle Eastern. So every time you go through immigration, you're usually chosen to be kind of inspected, questioned. That would be the first thing because, you know, it just happened to me going through. There's so much I don't even know where to begin, but just the sound of my name, you know, immediately, what was that? I'm lucky. I have so many friends who get treated far worse, but I think we all do. I mean, do you? Don't you? there's so many things that every single one of us go through that make us feel, or we're made to feel, like we're the other.
I know in the documentary, some of the students talked about a specific moment when they realized that they were somehow different. And I want to take a minute to play a clip from the documentary where Samuel is really talking about what that moment was like for him.
Around middle school, when I was like 12 or 13, I remember I was on a bus ride, and then some kids in front of me were having a conversation, and then one Caucasian kid, one of my classmates, was like talking to another girl, and she was like, and he was saying that his sister had like an Asian boyfriend, and they're like 14, 15, and then she goes, why would she do that? That's so weird. And I was in the back seat, and I was thinking like, why would that be strange? It's like, are we different? Are we not as compatible as mates or something? It's just kind of like, literally kind of looked down upon. So that's kind of like triggered, like, I'm different. Like, our race is different from them. We are viewed differently. And it's just kind of tough to see that my friend would say that, because like, they see me as just Asian, you know? I would rather people just look in the inside instead of the outside. See me as a person instead of just a color.
Did you have a similar moment of realization? I know you said you felt othered in many ways, but is there a time that really stands out to you in the same way that it does for Samuel?
To be honest with you, I think being raised as a Baha'i, I was taught that, again, going back to the principle of oneness, we were brought up as world citizens. I don't think I felt it to the extent that Sam just described. And for me, Sam's audition, he was so closed. It was a very difficult audition for Sam. I realized that there was so much in him, and it just wanted to come out, but he was holding back and holding back. And I remember asking every crew member in the room to leave, so it's just me and him alone. And then he finally opened up and told me a lot about himself. And it made me realize, I think it really does begin at childhood. As Freud says, those are the formation years when we start forming characters as individuals. And, you know, to feel what Sam felt during that bus ride, and ever since, as this young Asian man, he lives a life of constantly questioning what people are thinking of me. Am I going to be accepted? Why do they feel that I'm different? I'm just like them. Why do they see me differently? You know, and this is a journey so many people have, not, you know, as we've said before, not only in terms of color, but so many other things like sexuality, et cetera, you know, all these different issues that we deal with in the film. I don't think I felt it quite the way that Sam did. I'm going to be honest with you.
Are there any stories from the documentary that do really resonate with you in particular?
Every single one. Every single one, because it's really about acceptance. We all want to be accepted, and we all want to understand, why is it that it's so difficult to just be who you are and be loved and be accepted for that?
Javier, the DACA recipient, at one point said he's been living in this country for 18 years, but he still isn't accepted by people here. So do you think that our current immigration system recognizes that oneness and that humanity in undocumented individuals?
Absolutely not. This is what the problem is right now with immigration, not only in this country, but all over the world. We have just been looking at it quite differently from the humanity and the human rights issues that relate to these people's lives. Let's take Javier's example. He's a 2-year-old. His parents bring him here. He's not even aware, but they have a vision. They want the best for their children. They take a huge risk just to make the life or the lives of their children much better, much richer, much more hopeful than where they've come from. And so this kid grows up and lives in fear, in a cloud of not being accepted, always being questioned. And imagine growing up in this constant state of turmoil. This is, I call it spiritual terrorization. These families live in constant fear because they never know what's going to happen to them every day. Yeah, so no, there's no humanity in it.
How do you think that sharing stories like Javier's will incite change?
You know, that's a great question. I spoke with Javier's immigration lawyer, who's actually featured in the film, Brad. And Javier, I was really, really worried about, okay, if we expose him in this film, is this going to endanger his family? Brad, in consultation with Javier and his family, they all said, no. We believe that your intention is to tell stories about human hearts, human souls. And I think, they said, we think that everything that the public knows about people like us is so ignorant, it's so based on misinformation and just putting fear into people. We want them to know us as human beings. The media doesn't show that. We want them to see how we live and who we are. And I said, that's exactly what I want to do. Let's make this happen. And I think storytelling has the power to bring people closer together. Because unless you hear, every single one of us has a story, a unique story. And unless we get to tap into that source, we can't make assumptions about people. So it's just a firsthand, tell me, like, how is it being you? And I think the film succeeds in telling these individual stories, personal stories, who they are, what do they feel, how are they being treated, where do they come from?
There's one other clip that I do want to share to give our listeners a little taste of this documentary. And this idea of humanity and how people are viewed in their stories, and it's Taylor's. Taylor is a young woman from Flint, Michigan, and she talks a little bit about how people think that she's an exception because she's been able to go on to college being from Flint. So I just want to play this clip.
I think a lot of what's going on in Flint is about racism. They don't see the value in these poor black kids, you know? And so that gets me that people can know where I'm from and think that I'm less than them or think I deserve to be here less or that I made it out because I was an exception. Like, no, there are plenty of great people in Flint. A lot of people do end up going to college, but a lot of people don't even know that things exist for them.
So I thought her story was another. They were all powerful, but hers also really stuck with me. First, she attributes the Flint water crisis to racism. What do you think about that?
To do her shoot, the B-roll of her story, I said, we need to go to Flint. We went to Flint one day, and we went into the neighborhoods, and I think you'll see in the film this particular street where they're actually excavating and taking out the old pipes and putting the new pipes in. And it was a predominantly African-American community. And these kids and their mothers were hanging out in the gardens, and I would approach them, and of course, Sloan, who did an amazing job as a director of photography, was with me. And as soon as they would see the camera, they would be scared. And then I asked Sloan to go away, and I walked away. So it was just a one-on-one with no camera. And I started talking to the residents in that neighborhood. And I said, would you please just tell your story? Let us hear. People need to hear what you're going through. Every single one of them said absolutely no way. They were so scared. They live in fear. They've been oppressed. And they felt, firstly, they don't trust what's going on. They don't trust that these new pipes are going to make their lives any better. They've just lost trust in the system. And they feel that because they're African American, they're never going to be looked after. Nobody really cares. And when I went to the studio later that night to interview Taylor herself, when she came out boldly and strongly and said, let's face it, this is about racism, I thought, wow, it takes a lot of courage to put yourself out there and say what she did because she spoke the truth. And we need to address this issue. It's huge. That's a national emergency right now. It has been for years now.
And in the same way that Javier's story, you hope, will help people to really see the humanity and to fix this immigration process.
Exactly.
Do you think that same thing could happen with Flint by sharing Taylor's story?
this is the hope, absolutely, because a lot of people don't know. I mean, we see headlines, but unless you go into the communities and you go into families' homes or you meet individual peoples who are not celebrities, who are not, you know, journalists, you just go to real people's lives and ask them to open up their hearts. You get a peek of a truth that is so textured and layered and complex, and it's just filled with humanity and soul that is begging and crying for help.
If you're just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. I'm Addison Godfrey. Our guest is Shadan Majidi, whose documentary, Me, the Other, features a diverse group of students attending colleges and universities in Michigan. The film highlights their stories of what it feels like to be the other. So, Me the Other clearly shows that prejudice is an ongoing issue. Where do we start in trying to combat prejudice, stereotypes, all of these things that are seen as plaguing our society?
Honestly, when I made this film, I said, no agenda is religious or political. But at the same time, as the filmmaker, I'm inspired by however I was raised. So I'm going to quote Baha'u'llah again from the Baha'i Faith. He says, unity will be achieved when we eliminate prejudice of all kinds. And there's a stress on the word all. There is no room for any type of prejudice. Humanity needs to understand that this is not something that they were just born with. This is a learned behavior that can be unlearned and must be. Otherwise, we will not reach the golden age that Christ talks about, all the religions talk about. So, elimination of prejudice is something that we need to work actively as a human race and understand what are the roots of it, where does it come from. I think storytelling helps enormously. You know, all these characters that we've been talking about, the cast members, once you get to see the humanity behind these people, these labels, these stereotypes, then you understand that really they're just like us. We're all like each other.
On the website for the documentary, you say that in creating the film, you ask the questions we don't discuss in classrooms, workplaces, and social places. Mm. What kinds of questions are these?
Honestly, the kind of questions that you've been asking me, and great questions. Let's just talk about these issues. Let's talk about these people that we're so scared of. Let's understand who they are.
I think many people shy away from these topics because they don't know how to talk about them or because they're uncomfortable. So what would your advice be for getting these conversations started?
You know, there's so many stigmas attached, and a lot of stigmas are, you know, carried over by cultural, religious sort of beliefs. And I think the way that I approach this documentary, I didn't do any research. I didn't do any kind of a homework in terms of like looking at the backgrounds of these individuals. I just went into the studio. They sat in front of me and I just went straight for it. It became a process of therapy. There was so much crying. In one instance, you'll see, we didn't have room to edit around the tears because it was the first time that they just went inside their souls. And they just open up their hearts and reveal their light. And that process, very therapeutic, but filled with so much pain. And I feel that this is what we need to do. We shouldn't be scared of pain. You know, we're so PC about everything. Let's just be very open and talk as human souls. I want to get to know you. Tell me your story. You know, we sit and talk about trivial things that are so not important, you know? We're fascinated by celebrities, you know, all these trivial things that are bombarded at us. And, you know, we've created these kind of symbols of who we should be in life and what we should attain and what we should achieve. But we don't look inward and go, who are we and who are you and how do we connect and how can I make you reach your goals as an individual soul in this world, in this lifetime? And how can we help each other? What are your fears? What makes you cry? What makes you laugh? Simple questions. It's about going back to the soul.
At the beginning and end of the documentary, all 12 participants are seen talking and laughing together. How much time did they spend together in the creation of the documentary?
Wow. I cheated. We had because it was such a short time frame, we did a test screening of the first cut of the film just for the crew. Over 200 volunteers worked for free on this film. So we invited them all to a small theater space. And unbeknownst to us, the theater, even if it's a free screening, by law, and this is in Michigan, has to publicly announce a screening, whatever the screening is. So they announced the screening of Me, the Other, and next to it was the word free. Guess what? This private screening was fully sold out, and so we had a lot of people from the public there. And one of the associate producers, Johan Wong, was really smart. Last minute, he said, you know what? We have all these people. Let's put out a questionnaire. Let's ask them what worked for them, what didn't work, what, you know, what would they like to see. So he created this last minute questionnaire with these great questions. And I've never seen a unanimously, like, really detailed answers to questions. And every single one of them, there were certain things in common. Firstly, they said it was too short. At that point, it was about, I want to say 50 minutes. Now it's an hour and a half. They said it's way too short. They want to hear more. They want to hear more. This was a general response. Another response was, we want to see them all come together. We feel that these stories are disjointed. We wish that these characters, there was a sense of unity about them. In this time frame, unbeknownst to me, they all had exchanged personal information. So they were in touch. They've gone out together as a group for dinners and things. So they'd begun forming relationships. So the opening and the ending happened quite naturally because by then they had known each other. So yeah, sorry, it's a long answer to a simple question. So yes, but during filming, no, they were all separately filmed.
So do you know if they've talked about the shared experience of being the other, if that gave them any new insights or understandings, talking to one another and sharing stories?
Yeah, they get together often. I live in New York City. They live in Michigan, so unfortunately I missed out on, you know, their get-togethers. But apparently, yes. And it's funny because there's been so many screenings in Michigan, a lot of them get recognized in the street now. So people talk to them and say to them how much they relate to them. And, you know, they pick on the stories and they talk about their own personal experiences in relation to what they've seen on the screen in their stories. So, yeah, so there's a lot of connections are being made.
So finally, what do you hope people will take away from Me, the Other?
I think I'm hoping that they will see themselves in every single character, that they will start to look for commonalities and not differences, that they will start believing in sharing themselves with another so that they're communicating on a deeper level, to understand who the other person is and how we can develop true bonds that are more spiritually based and less trivial, less superficial, more authentic. I'm all about authenticity.
Shadan Majidi, thank you for talking with me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Shadan Majidi is the director and co-producer of the documentary Me, the Other. For more information, visit www.metheotherfilm.com. To listen to more Take Note interviews, go to our website at wpsu.org/take note. I'm Addison Godfrey, WPSU.